Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. The artist still known as Bradfoe, with the radio version of his daily Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball isn't boring.
Baseball's not boring to me.
Baseball is not boring.
It's not boring on a podcast, and it's damn sure not boring on the radio. And either way, it's streaming on the Odyssey app. It's Radio B.I.B. on WEEI.
All right, let's go. Baseball Isn't Boring show. That's right. I'm Rob Bradford, live from the WEI studios, the Baseballs and Boring studios. But we have actually two Baseballs and Boring studios. We have one up on the North Shore, and then we have one here in Brighton, and then we have one at Fenway. So that would be three, I guess. But we have all the coincidence or the comparisons are that we all talk in baseball. The great game of baseball. We're going to be talking the great game of baseball all the way till 3 o'clock, all the way to 3 o'clock. And let me set the scene for you. First of off, Joe Braverman, not Joe Schmo. Joe Braverman. Hello?
Hello, Bradfoe. So nice to be with you again.
Give me one.
McFarland.
All right. Intern Tom, part-time Tom, maybe someday full-time Tom. What do you got?
McFarland.
Oh, you're getting there. You're getting there, my friend. All right. This is sponsored by our great friends at McFarland. We appreciate them so much. The Baseball Isn't Boring show. Like I said, we're going to be on with you till 3 o'clock, 617-779-7937. And you know baseball's a hot topic when the show leading into us is talking just as much as football. You know that they're talking, there's something, there's meat on that bone. There is stuff to talk about. And certainly, I have a ton to talk about. I sit in the chair and I just talk. That's what I do. And fortunately, we're going to have Joe Weil on with us. You may know him from such educational works as A Pain Chip's Delicious But Deadly. No! He's a pregame, postgame. He's all over the place. He's a star in the making. We appreciate Joe. Joe's going to be joining us for the first hour. We're also in that first hour, we're going to have Brian Abraham, who is now part of the Baseballs and Boring family because he's on every week. And this is the only place you can get the what's what when it comes to everything in the Red Sox farm system. And really, let's be honest. I mean, it's been basically a 50-50 split in terms of interest this season, what's going on with the Boston Red Sox. There's the major league team, there's the minor league team. I actually went down to or over to Worcester yesterday and did a couple interviews with Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell because, you know, they are of note. And you can catch those on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast feed at BB Isn't Boring. The aforementioned Joe Weil is with us. Joe, hello.
Rob, how you doing?
So, oh man, you sound good. So, Joe, everybody who listens to this, everybody who follows Baseball Isn't Boring, we're all a big family, right? It's all a family. We don't have any secrets, no secrets. We do a podcast every single day. We talk about baseball. We hand out T-shirts, bracelets, stickers, scream from the mountaintops. There are no secrets. So I asked Joe because Gordo, who might chime in a little bit later, our good friend Gordo from the Play Tessie podcast and Sammy from the Play Tessie podcast, they were unavailable. Gordo is getting married on Monday, so we're all getting ready for that. The Baseballs and Boring van is going down, and so we're going to be doing that. Like, what an extravaganza on the beach, in the Cape, open bar. Raw bar. I mean, I can't help it. I'm just going to divulge everything. It's going to be the event of the century. But so anyway, Gordo isn't here. So I said to Joe Weil, star of the pregame, postgame show, amongst other things, I said, Joe, can you join me today? I would like to talk to you more than just for 5 minutes. And Joe, you said, well, I can, but I'm dress shopping, or my wife-to-be is dress shopping, so I have a window. So I can drive in from Beverly and drive back and then drive in and then drive back. I said, no, Joe. Baseballs and Boring has a Baseballs and Boring studio, which we pay good money for. Our good friends at Wasabi Technologies, Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, they're walking side by side with us. And also the Wasabi Baseballs and Boring studio, which, Joe, you are in right now. I think you are the first ever person to sit, other than me, sit in the Wasabi Baseballs and Boring studio. How's it looking there?
It looks amazing. And you talk about this being a family here with Baseballs and Boring. I feel so much a part of the family now that I'm in the Mansion de Bradfo. And I got to meet your lovely wife, Jen. She
Chief Marketing Officer of Baseballs and Boring. Yeah.
Yes. And she's doing a great job with that, as you can see with this amazing studio that I'm in right now. But she got me set up with the Comrex. So she's not only your Chief Marketing Officer, she's also so equipped with technology as well. And this is quite a setup, and it's cool to see where the magic happens because every day I wake up, I open up Twitter, X, whatever it's called these days, and I see a new video with you sitting in this studio with all the stuff behind you talking to somebody famous in the baseball world. So
and now you now see where it's at.
Exactly. So now I'm seeing where the magic is made, and very happy to be with you today, Rob, and learning. I was today years old when I learned that you did live in Beverly. Obviously, I knew you're local, but I didn't know what town specifically.
I mean, we don't have to publicize that, but I guess South Cats out of
Well, you already did. You already put that out there.
Well, I said the Baseballs and Boring studios are in Beverly. So but yes, and later you'll be getting Nick's Roast Beef, which I think you might run into Sammy there. Sammy of Play Tessie, he is also getting Nick's Roast Beef today. So, but the great game of baseball needs to be talked about. And Joe, I appreciate you jumping on because there is a lot to talk about. And as I said, I didn't tell you this, but Brian Abraham, who has been coming on the show every single week, he's going to be coming on at 12:30. So I'm glad you're on because you're an expert when it comes to the minor leagues of the Red Sox. It is interesting, Joe. It is an interesting time because now we're going to have roster expansion by two, right? Correct? Correct?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it jumps to 28.
28. I missed the days of where you had 40. So you're going to be adding some guys. I was just in Worcester. I'm looking around the room. I'm like, there are some intriguing possibilities of guys who you could call up. I guess we'll do a contest. You guess, I guess, callers can guess who are going to be the couple guys who are going to be added to this roster. What do they need? Who are the best candidates to do it? So that is part of it. That's one of the things that I think I want to dive into. Brian Abraham, also, you know, Mikey Romero, former first round pick, going off in Portland. So there's that as well. We also have, speaking of Portland, the two women of the week. Two women of the week. Emma Tiedemann and Riley Pay, who, in case you missed it, made history, did the Nesson broadcast, did an excellent job. And I'm not just saying that because they're coming on at 1:30, but they did an excellent job. They're gonna. I've been dying to talk to them to get the sort of the after we've had a couple days, Joe. What was it like? Right. What was it like? You're decompressed. The heart rate is lowered. What was it like for Emma and Riley? So they're going to be on at 1:30. And then we'll also play my Roman Anthony interview that I did yesterday at some point. But, Joe, here we go. Ready?
Joe, I'm ready.
I felt like you fell asleep in that very, very, very comfortable chair.
There are two of us, Bradfield, you got to work with.
Okay.
So. And also, I will say, this chair is so comfy. And I'm leaning forward because I am interested in everything you're saying, Rob. But if I lean back, I might be in some trouble.
You can kick back. Do you have the window open? We just put in the screen.
Window's open, I'm looking at the backyard. This is paradise right now.
It really is.
I knew it would be great, but it's even exceeded
my
expectations.
That podcast money. You want to get some of that podcast money, don't you?
I do now.
Let's go. All right. So we're talking about the Boston Red Sox, and I see everyone lined up. We're going to get to you, 617-779-7937. But before we get into sort of the what's what in terms of roster additions, you know, one of the things, Joe Schmo, I'll call for you like later, all right? But you're doing a fine job.
I know when I'll be summoned.
All right, Joe Weil. You know, you do the pregame show all the time. You do the postgame show all the time. You take it next level. But Joe, like, I look at the state of the American League, and I look at the state of the Red Sox, and we thought earlier in this week this was the tipping point. This was it. After that doubleheader sweep by, or whatever you want to call it, from the Toronto Blue Jays, it's over. It's over. It's over. It's a bridge too far. You're five games out, so forth and so on. But now they're three games out, three games out of the Twins, right? Three?
They're three and a half back now because the Twins did win yesterday.
Right, they won. So, yep. And what are they, four and a half with the Royals? So, 4.5 for the Royals. So, but here's the thing, Joe. Is that A, you have the White Sox coming up, right? This is where you make your run. Like, there is no question about it. Yeah, the Mets are pretty good. You have to play them. But this is where you make your run going up to September 9th. I am telling you, this is where you make your run. You need an extended run. This is where you make it. It's, and today's a tough one. Scoble's a guy. He is really good. Okay? So it's not going to be easy. Detroit's been playing well. You saw a little bit of that last night. But this is where you make your run. And if you make your run, Joe, this is my overall point. I think people are totally missing the boat in terms of the lay of the land and how the American League is this year. Tell me, Joe Weil, tell me the team that you, if you got into the playoffs, that the Boston Red Sox couldn't beat.
I'm with you. Rob, I'm completely with you. And I was thinking about this on my drive over here, just the state of Major League Baseball this year. I'm in total agreement with you on that statement. And of course, the caveat to all this is the Sox got to get in. And right now, the odds are more in favor of them not getting in. But to your point, there, you look at the league, specifically the American League, every team has flaws. And not only will we likely have a season this year where no team has a winning percentage of 600 or higher, which I think the last time that happened was 2014. And then 2013, yeah, no, I think it was 2013 was the last year that happened. We all know how that ended for the Sox. But I just look at the state of baseball this year, and every team has pretty significant flaws right now. Like the Yankees, they have the best record in the American League. We've seen the Red Sox take a couple series against
them. The Yankees don't scare me.
No, and especially with Clay Holmes as their closer, too. Like late in games, we've seen that guy melt down. I still can't believe he ended up making the All-Star game with all the blown saves he's had this year. So that's, yeah, if that's the team you're so to speak trying to chase within this American League, yeah, they have significant flaws outside of Judge and Soto, and Austin Wells has had a good year. You know, they're just a very flawed team. So to me, I mean, this would be the shame of it if the Sox don't make it to the playoffs, is that this year, more than any I can remember over the last decade, it seems so wide open for the American League. The Astros not as good this year as they've been in years past. Obviously, they've played better since, I think, the 8-19 start. Even the Central, like the Guardians, they're not as good as maybe.
No, they don't have the pitching.
I mean, or the hitting, Rob. I know they have, like, I know they have Jose Ramirez, but like they have trouble slugging. So they're a flawed team too.
Yeah, so you look at it across the board. And again, 61, I know everyone's going to call up 617-779-7937. This is just part of the conversation. We can get into Casas and the talk we had about Casas for Vlad and blah, 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 and whatever. I mean, we can talk about the prospects coming up, all of it. We're going to get to it all. But my overall point, this is like, I think we're on the same page here, which is, unlike any other year, there is, as every team is flawed, and I felt like I've said this before in other years, but it's more so this year. And really, if you look at it with the Red Sox, the things that have to go right for them actually to, okay, say you get into the playoffs, to go on a run. One of the encouraging things about the last couple of times Tanner Houck has pitched is that he's pitched well. He's actually looked like that guy that you need him to be. Right? Cutter Crawford has pitched better. Brian Bayo has pitched at a level now that you're like, all right, he could pitch in a postseason game. That's what you need if you are going to make a postseason run. It is a blueprint made by Arizona, by Texas last year, by Philadelphia last year, by these teams. This is how it is done. And the Red Sox at least have the pieces to do that. Now, all of that said, you have so little room for error to actually get to that point, right? So tell me where I'm wrong in all of that, Joe.
I don't think you're wrong. I'm in complete agreement with you on that, Rob. I think the only thing that still concerns me right now is that starting pitching. Even though Bayo looked really good last time out, that was that performance against Toronto and just being there at Fenway, it was.
But he's been good. Like he's been good for a while now.
Yeah, he's been better. I mean, he had a tough start against the D-backs. Before that, he was on a pretty nice run. Tanner Houck. I mean, I was just, Rob, I would have been so sad for him yesterday if they lost that game.
Because, it would have been sad for him.
Here's why I would have been sad, because they hadn't won a start of his since before the All-Star break. So he had gone in the seven-start stretch, which the Sox hadn't won any of them, and there were some blips in there, but there was also, I think it was like four quality starts in that seven-start span. So I was, they almost blew it, and that game ends up being so big because Skubal's going today for Detroit, and if you lose that game and then you're staring at the guy that's probably going to win the AL Cy Young Award, you're not... It's not looking good. And so the fact that Kenley, even though he blew that save last night, got out of the ninth inning to help set up the 10th, that's a really underrated part of the game because, you know, then it sets up Rafaela doing what he did, Duran following that. But I'm in agreement with you about this team's being optimistic about what they can still accomplish.
But I'm not even being optimistic. I'm being realistic.
I know. And I think that you're right. I think you're right in the sense that if they get in, they can do some damage because of how weak just baseball is at the top this year with where parity is at and how many teams are still technically in it. But that also means there's no team necessarily with their target on the back. So if they get in with the speed that they can utilize, and Rob, we haven't even brought it up yet. You know, they still have the best manager, at least in my opinion, in the sport. And we've seen what Alex Cora can do in a postseason run two times now, and I think he's milked those two teams for everything that they could do in the respective years. 18, of course, he pushed every right button. They won the World Series, and then in 2021, we know that was a flawed team, but they still got to Game 6 of the ALCS.
Yeah, all good points. And by the way, I know that College Game Day has the reputation for people hanging out outside, like with signs. Can you look out the window? Is there anyone hanging out with baseballs and boring signs outside the baseballs and boring studios?
You know, actually, there's security here, too, as well, Rob.
Oh.
Your wife decided, okay, we need to get some security here as well because of how many fans are here.
Well, if we can get...
I heard he uses Secret Service instead,
well,
Joe.
My wife, as chief marketing officer, you know, much like we have maybe plants at other rallies, perhaps we can plant my chief marketing officer with a sign, baseball is a boring sign, outside the window. You can take a picture of that. All right. So after you ask for some snacks, ask her to go make up a sign and say, yay, baseball is a boring.
All right. All right.
That's all right. We got a lot of people to get to on the lines. Appreciate everybody calling. 617-779-7937. Jeff, Steve, Derek. And like I said, we're going to get to them. And then we're going to get to Brian Abraham, farm director, to get the what's what when it comes to all things minor leagues. It's always important. Always 50% of the conversation when the Red Sox. But first, we're going to trend with Joe, not Schmo, Braverman.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox escaped their series opener in Detroit last night against the Tigers with a 7-5 win in 10 innings. Sox had a 4-0 lead in the 8th until Kerry Carpenter cut it to 1 with a 3-run blast. Kenley Jansen came the 9th. He blew the save but was bailed out in the 10th when Sedan, Rafael, and Jaron Duran went back-to-back. Chris Martin finished with a save and keeps the Sox at 3.5 games back of the Twins for the final wild card spot. Game 2 of this 3-game series will take place tonight. Will Fleming and Lou Maloney have the call from Comerica Park at 6:10 on the Shaw's Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Nick Pivetta will get the start for the Sox opposite Tarek Skubal for the Tigers. The aforementioned Joe Weil will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 5:10. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. For yesterday's game, Alex Cora told the media that shortstop Trevor Story will begin a rehab assignment with AAA Worcester on Sunday as the DH for the Woo Sox. Story hasn't played since suffering a fractured shoulder on April 5th. It's a day off for the Patriots today. They'll resume practicing on Monday as they prepare for their regular season opener in Cincinnati against the Bengals next Sunday. First full weekend of college football season continues today. Headliner games include 14th-ranked Clemson against top-ranked Georgia from Atlanta. That's kicking off in just a few moments. Also later on today at 7:30, 7th-ranked Notre Dame is at 20th-ranked Texas. UMass will open the season at home against Eastern Michigan. That is a 3:30 kickoff. And the Revolution are still in the MLS playoff hunt as they travel to face Real Salt Lake tonight at 9:30. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Holton throws. Jaron rocks one deep to right field. Adios! Are you kidding me? Back to back. Duran launches, and it's 7-4 Red Sox.
Ambush. Oh, Holton comes in here, and he's got a savant page that's all red. 99th percentile in chase rate. But when you throw me 92 down the middle, I'm not chasing. I'm going to hit it 431, 109 off the bat. That thing was launched.
All right, welcome back to the Baseballs and Boring Show. That was Will Fleming, Lou Maloney on the call from last night's game. I don't know if you know this. Red Sox won. 3.5 back of the Twins, 4.5 back of the Kansas City Royals. We are proclaiming that it would be an enormous, enormous missed opportunity if they do not make the playoffs, because there is no team that you should be scared of in the American League. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Jeff in Watertown. Lead it off, Jeff. What do you got, man?
How you doing, Brad Pro and Joe's? How's everybody?
Oh, great. Awesome.
How you doing, Jeff?
Good. And I just want to mention, I really enjoyed the Pulbert interview a lot. It was a really...
Isn't that kind of crazy, though, Jeff? In case people don't know, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast at BB Isn't Boring. Real quick, it was 30 years ago. I'm 30 years ago. I'm sorry, 15 years ago yesterday. Well, Paul Byrd did the exact same thing, pretty much the exact same thing as Rich Hill, which is coaches kids' little league team, went to Cooperstown, was playing catch in the fields at Cooperstown, gets signed by the Red Sox, and then on August 30th, 2009, goes out and beats Roy Halladay, 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs. And it was almost to the day, 15 years from when we had that great moment from Rich Hill the other night. So, yeah, so it was a lot of fun.
And I love that. I love that Francona's comment going out to the mound was have fun. And when he came back, it was like, wow.
He's like, wow. I can see Tito saying that. Yeah.
That was great. Well, you know, Brett, we've been saying this all year. Like, this team is a dangerous team in the playoffs, especially with the speed. And what really gets me is, you know, the good parts of this team are really good. But a lot of these guys are not going to be here next year. I mean, one of our strengths, and, you know, despite last night, one of our strengths is the eighth and ninth innings, but I don't expect those guys to be back next year. So we got to utilize them now. We have them now. I don't know what we're going to have next year. You know, we're not going to have Pivetta. And again, Pivetta is hot and cold, but I think for us to do what we want, you know, to make the playoffs, he's going to have to get hot. You know, like, we have these pieces. We don't have them next year. So, I mean, that's another worry I have, is like, next year we've got to find those parts plus the other parts that we don't have.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, Jeff, is everyone saying, well, what do you spend money on? And you got Liam Hendricks coming. No, it doesn't work that way. You can't just say that. It's just like you can't say Liam Hendricks is going to be a lockdown guy right now. I mean, you have what you have. And I do think – I know Kenley's caught a lot of heat lately, but he's also shown flashes of being really, really, really good. So
yeah, no, he's still an asset. And, yeah, and I think Breslow is – he's competitive, but he's also – he wants to learn. He's an intellectual. He wants to learn things. And I hope he's going to learn from this season that, you know, it takes more than just, you know, filling a little hole here. You got to bring in big time, you know, like, as you've said many, many times, you know, certainty.
Pay for certainty. Yep. Well, Jeff, we're under the gun a little bit today, but I appreciate you calling as always. The great Jeff in Watertown. Thanks, man. I'll talk to you next week. Steve in Fall River. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Rob, there's no date. You've got the dates wrong. You said they were out of it, or you had doom and gloom a few games ago. They're not going to have a 10-12 streak like I predicted. The optimum, that every season you've got to look to September 15th and then decide where you're at. If you're within 3 games in the loss column, forget the half games. You're in it. If you look at this season, they're playing the Twins, who they've fallen behind. That's the crux of the season. It's after September 15th. If on September 15th, after they play the Yankees, if you look up in the newspaper, you see that 3 games out, they can fix that problem because they're playing the Twins. They're also playing some weak sisters at the end of the season. I don't see a run that could take care of them, like a 10 out of 12, because they're playing the Orioles, they're playing the Mets, they're playing the Yankees. I can't see that as the path forward. The fact that they're playing the Minnesota Twins, who they're chasing currently right now, tells me that you said September 9th. No, September 15th, where are you? Are you 3 games in the loss column out, and you're in striking distance? That's where you got to go. Keep in mind, Heim Bloom was fired on September 13th last year, but they already figured out they were out of it. The 15th of December is the most important date if you're chasing in the playoffs. One other thing, Rob.
Yeah.
This is playoff baseball right now. I'd like to see him actually get into the real playoffs in October. I'm not as worried as you are and I think I'm with the Red Sox draft. Just getting in the playoffs is going to be good medicine for this group. I don't pretend to try to look around the rest of the league and say it. Yeah, I'll take one game at a time. But this doom and gloom in April, I started the season off talking to you or making a comment that they lost 10 games last year without having Trevor Story, and then he got hurt, and they went on a 10-game funk after that. If you look at them not having Costas for this amount of time and not having Story for this amount of time of this season that just went by, you're going to tell me they wouldn't be in the playoffs qualified if you had Trevor Story and Costas in the lineup for most of the season? No. I don't think you could say they wouldn't be already in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, and thanks for the call, Steve. You know, I think, first of all, I don't remember ever saying that they were out of it a week ago or a few days ago. It's like, you know, we understood the turn that it took after that Monday against the Blue Jays. And, yeah, I don't think there's any question that this team, if you had the guys who didn't get hurt, it would be a dramatically, not dramatically, but it would be a more palatable situation. And they are in a palatable situation right now. They have a chance to make the playoffs. We're going to look at the schedule a little bit later. Steve had expertly pointed out that they do have the Twins on the 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
I also can't see it either because no one reads newspapers anymore.
Yeah, we want to keep newspapers and papers in business. People need to be paid.
Well, Rob, I was just going to quickly say, too, maybe is it crazy to think that this could be the 10-win-in-12-game stretch? Because they have won 3 out of their last 4 now, and we've talked about this part of the schedule, Tigers in this series, Mets who are around the bubble, and then the White Sox after that.
Yeah, well, that's why I said August 9th. I mean, I'm sorry, September 9th, because that's when the stretch ends. And so, I don't know, we'll see. But we're going to get back to that. We're going to get back to your calls. I see everybody hanging on. But first, this takes priority, as always. I'm not even going to say friend of the program, family member of the program, Brian Abraham, farm director of the Red Sox. Welcome into the family. Brian, how are you?
Hey, good. Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate that. That's very kind words.
Well, yeah. Listen, you also, if you would like, anytime you want to swing by my house /the Baseballs and Boring Studios to do a show, you can do it as well, much like Joe Weil. Say hi to Joe Weil.
Hi, Joe. How's it going?
Hey, Brian. How you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, I'm looking so
polite. Of course. Happy to be here.
So polite. First of all, Brian, I went down or over to Worcester yesterday, and I always know that you love when I interview your players in Worcester. Because, right?
I do.
You do. I have to get – you need to do something for me, though. One of the many insightful things that I talked to Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell about, I asked Roman Anthony, I said, what did you get for winning the skills showcase at the All-Star game? A washer and dryer? Because you remember, Manny Ramirez, I think, got like a printer, you know, for winning MVP in Japan. And he said, no, you know, you win a war, and you know, they said they were going to give you a prize, a financial prize. He's like, I haven't seen that yet. And he's such a nice guy, such a young guy. He's not going to ask for it. Can you get to the bottom of this? The kid needs to be paid. He won the award. Let's go.
Yeah. No, I can look into that. That's pretty easy. I'll get some of the people in the office and start making some calls.
All right, thank you. That's what we're here to do. It's like, you know, I'm like Norma Ray. All right, I totally dated myself. Anyway, Brian, so you've had these guys move up, and they are doing pretty well. Teal's struggling a little bit. What in the brief time that you've had them up in Worcester, what has been your takeaway? Because you hope that you hit the sweet spot with these guys getting called up. But what has been your takeaway about this? You know, the Anthony, and we're going to get to Marcelo Meyer in a second, but Anthony, Christian Campbell, and Kyle Teal.
I can't say I'm too surprised with how they've performed and just everything I've heard from our AAA staff, the consistency of the work on and off the field, their ability to transition to the upper levels, deal with better competition, and deal with a clubhouse that is probably a little bit different than some of the other levels because you have minor league free agents, you have big leaguers, different age players from different backgrounds and different experiences. And there's a lot of, for Trace, a lot of balancing of the roster in terms of positions, in terms of batting order, in terms of getting guys in when they need to. So they've handled the transition incredibly well. Like I said, I'm not too surprised. I think the players who we think they are and who we expect them to be are showing. You know, I know you mentioned Kyle. I think for that role, that position in particular is definitely a little bit more of a difficult transition, catching different arms, understanding what their goals are, focusing on those. And I think the offense is going to come. He's definitely shown flashes. He's had better at-bats. And overall, I couldn't be happier with the three guys and how they've performed. And I think just the way they carry themselves. They're all fairly young relative to the rest of the group. But I think they've handled themselves well. And I think they will continue to do so on top of being good players in the baseball field.
Brian, I had a chance to talk to Christian Campbell a couple months ago, and when I asked him who his favorite players were growing up, he mentioned a player like D. Gordon, who, you know, not known for his power, and I think he modeled his game in a similar way to D. Gordon when he was playing in high school and he was at college at Georgia Tech. Now his teammates are calling him Barry Bonds because of the power numbers that he's been able to put up this year. How much of a source of pride is it for you and your staff to see a guy that was known for hitting the ball hard but into the ground, and then all of a sudden turn into this player that his teammates are in complete awe of because not only his athleticism out on the field, but the fact that he can pop the ball out at the exit velos he's done this year?
Yeah, definitely he's been fun to watch develop. There's a lot that goes into it, you know, between the conversations between the amateur group, the player development group, understanding players that we draft and acquire and the adjustments we can make with them and some of the progress we can make or areas we can look at and say we can improve in these areas. So on top of them just having some foundational things that we feel like can scale really well to the upper levels and ultimately to the big leagues. So it's a fairly large process, but I think our staff has done an incredible job of building that trust, building that relationship with Christian, allowing him to feel comfortable making some adjustments and doing maybe some things that he hadn't done previously that maybe were a little bit uncomfortable. But ultimately, because of the trust, because of those relationships, he felt like he could work into those, maybe fail a little bit, but continue to push forward and ultimately see the success that we are seeing. And I think at the end of the day, the credit goes to the players. I mean, it's their career. They ultimately are going to be driving what they do. And it's our job to do our best to provide them with information, be as transparent as we can about why we are asking them to do particular things. And for Christian, he's taken those head on, has asked questions and been provided answers. And they've all worked well towards allowing him to perform the way he has. So it's been just a combination of a player development group, of believing what we believe in and pushing guys towards those areas of beliefs. And, you know, for Christian in particular, I feel like the sky's the limit in a lot of ways. He continues to improve, continues to get better because of the work ethic, because of the kid, because of the willingness to fail, like I said. And it's really been fun to watch.
By the way, Joe, you know why he likes D. Gordon, right? I found this out yesterday.
Yeah, because he worked for the
bad boy
team.
For the Chattanooga Lookouts, and D. Gordon was playing there, and D. Gordon basically took this 10-year-old kid under his wing, and you know, the rest is history. Brian Abraham, minor league correspondent for Baseballs and Boring / farm director for the Red Sox. So Marcelo Meyer, we have talked about him in recent or past episodes, past conversations. There was at one point he was going to be activated, I think DH, maybe for the Portland Sea Dogs, and that didn't work out. Tell me a little bit about this injury that he has. It's sort of a back-ish injury, and what is the prognosis for him?
Yeah, the ultimate injury is a lumbar strain. You know, I think we tried to get him to play early on, like most of our players. You know, there was some soreness. He felt uncomfortable. He felt like he was day-to-day. He felt like it was going to be very short-term based on the baseball activity that he was doing. So in terms of our process within the medical and performance area, we went through that and gave him some time away, worked on treatment, and then slowly progressed him back into baseball activity. Certainly was going well as we started to ramp up a little bit more and get into a little bit more of a, I guess, aggressive / impactful type of baseball activity. There was some soreness, which again, normal when someone's coming back from any type of injury. But we just ultimately felt like he was unable to get over that hump of feeling like he could go and perform optimally onto the field. So we ended up getting imaging after he had plateaued with that progression and showed the lumbar strain. So we are not concerned in terms of the fact that it is not something we expect to be long-term. There is some time down. There's going to be treatment. There's going to be some strengthening focus But we expect a full offseason. We expect a full recovery. And other than it just being frustrating for us and for Marcelo, certainly, we're happy we know what the issue is and is what and was. And we're looking forward to him progressing and getting into full health for the rest of the season, offseason, I should say.
Yeah, so that's the thing, Brian. So when we talk about timetable, we talk about sort of when this kid might land. It's unfair to him because it's always comp to guys, other highly drafted high school shortstops. Not everybody's the same. And with the understanding also, last year was a lost year. I mean, for the most part, not only the time he missed, but even when he was playing hurt. But this year, do you feel like that you got a good enough chunk of his development that you sort of say, okay, you know, it's this can still be perceived as a year where this kid developed, took a big, big jump in terms of potentially hitting the major leagues next year?
100%. I mean, this past off season, he put on about 10 to 15 pounds. His bat speed increased. He was hitting the ball harder this year. His range improved. So there are objective ways of us being able to measure the development of a player. And he achieved and surpassed a lot of areas that he had goals for, and we ultimately made goals that were further along for him to continue to push towards. So I think certainly, again, anytime a player is cut short in terms of injury for the season, it's not ideal. But I feel like overall, you know, he earned a promotion to AAA despite not being able to play up there. He, I don't want to say dominated, but performed incredibly well in AA on both sides of the ball. He continued to improve. He continued to add strength throughout the season. And I think he matured a lot as a young baseball player, a young man. And we're really excited about where he's going to be going into next year and feel like he's definitely going to be challenging those other middle infielders at double levels for playing time.
Brian, I wanted to ask you about Quinn Priester, who is that was a big part of the trade deadline, and you guys deal away Nick York, and he's had some success in the Pirates organization. But I know getting a pitcher like Quinn Priester with the pedigree, that's big for the organization to get some depth on the pitching side. I'm curious what you've made of his first five outings with Worcester, what you've liked and what you think he still needs to improve upon.
Yeah, a bit of a mixed bag, I would say, in terms of his outings. There's been some positives, been some negatives. I think the biggest thing for us is getting to know the kid, understand what he feels like he does well, what he feels like he needs to improve on, and then having us have those conversations with him about where we feel like he can push forward in particular areas. So I think we are on the same page in a lot of areas. I think whenever you're coming to a new organization with new people, new set of eyes, maybe potentially different ways of doing things on the baseball field, you're going to have some ups and downs, some challenges, and probably some back and forth in terms of performance. But I would say in terms of the work that we are doing in between outings, in terms of the side sessions, in terms of pitch design and focus on velocity and some other areas, we're very pleased. So he's been open to adjustments, open to changes, wants to continue to challenge himself because he wants to be a piece of our rotation for a long time. And I think the group already in Worcester, the environment already in Worcester, provides an opportunity for him to be with the rest of the group moving forward towards that. So we're pretty excited. And again, definitely some work to go, but we've been very pleased with what we've seen so far.
Last question, Brian, is a kid, Mikey Romero, who was a first round pick for the Red Sox 2022, sort of was lost in the shuffle, had some injury problems. And when we talk about, you know, top prospects, he had kind of fallen out of that conversation, but now he seems to be healthy. He's been promoted to Portland, and he's actually on fire. I mean, you can't turn on Twitter/X without seeing this kid hit a home run in the last couple of weeks. So talk to me a little bit about Mikey Romero's development and how you see that.
Yeah, we're really excited about Mikey. Definitely probably not the start of pro ball that he would have liked with a couple injuries. Certainly a bit of a slower start than I think any draft pick, never mind a first-round draft pick, would have liked. But even started out this year a little bit slower. But I think there's been a ton of focus on adding strength to the body, adding a little bit more to that engine to drive the baseball. And, you know, he's really flourished as he's continued to build up his workload, as he's continued to get game reps. He earned a promotion to AA, and he has not stopped since he's been there. He's impacted the baseball. He's got a couple home runs, two extra base hits. He's playing a solid shortstop. But, you know, whenever – I think in player development, you know, we have to obviously very much so focus on the objective ways of how we evaluate our players and where they stand within the organization. But I think all of us within, especially this department, there is a strong personal piece to this, getting to know players, getting to know staff, dealing with them on and off the field, their families, everything they've gone through. So to see Mikey progress, to see where he is now in AA and how excited he was, it's been awesome. I was actually in Greenville right before we promoted him, and you know, a quick funny story, I guess, that we have these conversations, as I said before, days, weeks in advance, and we had planned on promoting Mikey over the weekend, but I was leaving before that promotion, and we had a pretty long conversation. He basically asked me, you know, what he needed to do to go to AA. What I wanted to tell him is like, hey, just go to bed for a couple more nights, you'll be all right. But I gave him a little bit more of a thorough plan of what was expected. So, you know, these guys are grinding, these guys are pushing, and to see Mikey get to AA and know that that's just the next step of the process to ultimately join the big league team, it's been really cool to see.
Hey, listen, tough decisions coming up. I don't know if you know this. You can't have 40 men on the major league roster anymore. You can only have two extras. I mean, those were the days, weren't they? When you were out in the bullpen when you didn't have enough seats for everybody. You hated that?
Terrible. Yeah, I was sitting on the grass somewhere. You know, I get bumped pretty quick. I was sitting on the bullpen bag. I don't mind not sending up, you know, 10 to 15 guys. I mean, it is certainly great for some guys to get their major league debut that way, but I think this is a little bit more efficient, I would say, for everyone.
Yeah, well, we'll know that in a matter of, I guess, hours or 24 hours or whatever it is. But you worry about what you need to worry about, and that is being awesome for us because you're pitching a perfect game with all these calls. We appreciate it, Brian.
No, happy to help. Always good to talk to you guys.
All right, the great Brian Abraham, farm director of the Boston Red Sox. We're running behind a little bit, but we get to your calls. I appreciate these people, Derek, David, all of you all hanging on. We're going to get to you right. But first, we're going to take a quick break. This is a Baseball Isn't Boring show, 617-779-7937. Joe Weil's going to be with us for another segment. We got Joe, not Schmo, Braverman, behind the glass. We got a lot of things coming up. But first, like we said, got to take a quick pause. Then we'll get to the calls. All right, we're back. Baseball's a boring show. Joe Braverman behind the glass. Intern slash part-timer, hope to be someday full-timer Tom alongside. He'll be taking over the last hour. Joe Weil in the Baseball's and Boring, the North Shore Baseball's and Boring studios. Anybody outside with signs yet, Joe? No?
I told you there were before. Now they've departed. They were told to go home.
They've been ushered away.
Yeah, and it's time for, it's lunchtime too, so they're getting their North Shore beefs.
Wasn't there someone jogging by and they tried to yell McFarland, but it was like, yes. Faint. It was like, McFarland!
So my neighbors are good at that. That's how I go to sleep at night. Just please end your day, punctuate it with the good vibes of McFarland. So everyone in the neighborhood, yes, yells McFarland. But thank you, Joe Weil. He's got one more segment in him. I appreciate it. Excellent questions from Brian Abraham. We appreciate him joining. These people have been hanging on the line very patiently, so let's get to them. Derek and Pepperell. Hey, Derek, how are you? Thanks for hanging on, man.
No problem. I've been wanting to call in Bradfo for a while, and I just appreciate your enthusiasm in baseball. So I am Derek, the official ambassador of the Greg Hill Show. Wiggy named me it this week, so it's official. But I'm looking for other ambassadors. I love the show. I love EEI. I have for years. And I know, also getting back to Pepperell, this is the home of Mutt, as you probably know.
Yep.
And I never met him, but I've golfed with his dad, and it's a great community. I was just out picking corn while I was waiting to get on, so that's what we're doing.
Nothing gets you ready for talking baseball than picking corn. Better. I mean, that is science. And by the way, Derek, before I forget, since you are ambassador of so many things, we love ambassadors, especially to Baseball's and Boring. Please hang on after and give your address so we can send you some Baseball's and Boring gear. All right.
I would love that. So I was going to wait on this one, but Bradfo, you're going to love this. My dad, so baseball is in my blood. My dad grew up in Newton, and my dad's father, who I never met, he was Ted Williams' stockbroker, and I kid you not.
Wow, oh my God. Crazy stuff.
And I would love to, at some point, get together with you and share this stuff, because it's just incredible. I have a 1946, they won the World Series, right? I have a Ted Williams ball, and I have a bunch of memorabilia.
Honestly, like Derek, I don't even care about the ball. I want to know what Ted Williams invested in. Like, did he invest in, like, fishing lures? Like, what did he? You got to find this out.
So two interesting things. My grandfather was into homing pigeons. I have a picture of my dad, my grandfather, my uncle, and Ted in the entire neighborhood on Allerton Road in Newton. Ted's holding onto a pigeon, and he's just, I mean, he's a huge guy, obviously, sitting in the middle. And it's just, and the kids are all just in the neighborhood, black and white photo, just in awe of the fact that Ted Williams is there. Big time into fishing, as we all know, but I actually don't know. You know, I can't ask my dad. He died a year ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would love to have asked him that. No, it was all good. 87 years old, had a wonderful life.
Well, I think there's a missed opportunity there, Derek. Too the timing might not have been perfect with Mike Tyson and Ted Williams with the homing pigeon reality show. But still, it's to think of what might have happened. But real quick, what do you got of the Red Sox?
So I just, of course, they're going to make it to the playoffs. Come on, this is like their enthusiasm. Well, you know what? I don't know if you're like this, Repo, but like everybody's like, they can't do it. They can't do it. They can't do it. Remember when they were down freaking three games against the Yankees? I remember going to a Patriots game that next day. They're all done. I said, you watch, you're going to come back. And these guys, one guy that I had never met, he got my buddy's phone number. He called me up. I could not believe that you were even saying that. I said, wait, it's one game at a time. You play one game at a time. So we're three and a half. What did you guys say? Three and a half back?
Three and a half back, yep.
I've already heard you before. We're not scared of the Yankees. We're going to play the Yankees. We're going to play Baltimore, right?
Yep.
So, like, why can't we do that?
No, you can do it. But Derek, hang on. We got to get to the next caller before the break.
Yeah, no problem. Yep.
But I mean, obviously said. I mean, this is something where you can absolutely do now. But you can do it. Doesn't mean you are going to do it. And my bigger point is that. You should be hoping this year more than any other year that you do it, because this is the Diamondbacks, man. This is the Rangers, and it's even more so. Like last year with the Diamondbacks, you thought the Dodgers were a behemoth. You thought the Brewers were good. You thought these other teams were gonna, but the Phillies, I thought they were gonna roll. And next thing you know, you end up in the World Series. There's no team in the American League which you're like, oh my goodness, you can't beat them. No. Not the way you're constructed, but that just, you know, ifs and buts or candy and nuts, every day be Christmas. Got that, Tom? Write that down. All right, David in Florida. Hey, David, how are you?
Good morning, Bradford.
What's up, man?
You know, I got a couple of things for you. First, do you think that the minor league players, the big three, the Meyer, and do they hold more trade value during the off season than they would during the trade deadline?
Joe Weil, answer that question.
I would. That is a good
Joe
question.
Weil there too.
Yeah. Yes. What's going on, David? I think. See, I think the trade deadline, right? Because you're trying to extract more value at that point because there's more urgency. So I would say trade deadline. What do you think, Rob?
More value in the off season or trade deadline? I think I do think that. No, I still think off season. I still think off season. You know, I do, because that's when you have a clearer vision of what you're going to give up and what you really want. Anyway, why do you ask, David? What's going on?
Because I think the person they should get rid of the most is not Meyer, but Anthony. They got a surplus of talent in the outfield. With what they have right now, they've got a bright future already, and they need pitching. And I want to see them get rid of getting with Anthony to get some top of the line pitching. That's what they need. They need a veteran leadership, and they need quality pitching, and they will be set for the next 5 years.
All right, well, David, thanks for the call. You know, I do think that they are going to have some very. This offseason is going to be fascinating, not only because this isn't just about you got to spend money, you got to add. You have to figure out how to construct your team. And you're actually not in a terrible spot. You're not in a spot of desperation. But, Joe, you have to figure out how to get the aforementioned right-handed bat. You have to figure out which prospects you want to hang on to, which young players you want to hang on to. It is. I think this is going to be one of the more – it's going to be fascinating, Joe, not just because there's moves to be made, but because this isn't just, oh, well, you need this and you need that, so go buy it. No, this is much different than that.
Yeah, and it, what makes it so fascinating, Rob, is that we lived this life, you know, what was it, 8-9 years ago, where the Sox were in a position where they had such a great farm system, and Dave Dombrowski made the right moves. He dealt away the right prospects and kept the right ones.
Good point.
And that's why they won the World Series. But the moves in which they traded away guys and got value back, that's why they ultimately won it all. So now we're kind of living that life again here. My question, and Rob, I know you'll probably hit on this more and more, but like, do they have to trade any of these guys? Can they just go out in free agency and get some players? Like, I think that's still... it should be something on the table.
We were up against it, but I think you do, just because you can't keep having like these lefty hitting outfielders.
But Anthony is like just seeing what he's doing.
Oh no, I'm not saying I'm going to trade him. Like I'm not saying but this is the fascinating thing. You go down the list. You know this talk. You know you have Abreu, you have Anthony, you have Duran, all legit. Potential all-stars. And I don't throw that around lightly. All legit all-stars. And so if you do that, then, you know, you have to figure out which ones you want. And to your point about Dombrowski, he usually picked the right ones. All right, Joe, I know that you have things to tend to. Just make sure you lock the door on your way out, please.
I will. I promise. I promise. Even with all the fans that were outside, in case.
Yeah, listen. There's a lot of riffraff out there. We appreciate everybody who showed up. We will do. I do want to, much like Julian Edelman did at the Wilbur. Maybe we'll do a very special remote Baseballs and Boring at the Wasabi Technologies Baseballs and Boring Studios, which Joe Weil became the first ever person other than my chief marketing officer / wife to enter into. So I appreciate you stopping by, Joe.
Rob, I will be there when that happens. North Shore beef's on me. And thanks for having me here in Casa de Bradfo. It's been a fun experience.
All right. The great Joe Weil. We got to take a quick break. Joe Braveman behind the glass. We got a lot coming up. Riley Pay, Emma Tiedemann, both who were on the call for Nesson at 1:30. We're going to have Gordo Chamine to get his how his nuptials, the planning for his nuptials are going, because that's very important. He's part of the family, so he's getting married on Monday. You know, why not? You know, why not have Gordo call in? All right. And my sit down with Roman Anthony coming in probably in the 2 o'clock hour. We're on with you till 3 o'clock. This is a Baseballs and Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford. Be back after this.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.